A couple of months ago, I went through that ritual we all go through of completing our taxes. And I got to that second page where you sign it. And both my wife Mary and I signed our copies and then filled in those, you know, the spot that says, I think it says occupation. And I always put down priest, and Mary puts down scientist. Interesting combination. Mary is a scientist. She works for a biotech company in Durham called BioMaryU, and is in the world of science, and I guess you'd say I'm in the world of religion. Those two worlds and the culture we live in today are sometimes presented as somehow opposites or somehow at each other. Not really sure how that ever happened, but I think it would be fair to say that we live a little bit in that kind of a culture today, which is a sad thing because, you know, centuries ago, religion was at the forefront of science. Science and religion were connected in this sense of searching out knowledge, searching out truth, searching out meaning. I don't really see them as opposites or working against each other, but so intertwined. Sure, there are some at one end of the extreme of the world of science and those that perhaps at the end of the extreme of religion that do see each other as opposites, but I think most of us see it in perhaps a different kind of way of working together. I'd like to share some thoughts on that a little bit this morning from my own experience. My youngest daughter, Rebecca, seems to take a little bit after my wife, Mary, and her interest in the world of science. Rebecca is majoring at UNC Charlotte in geology. Her interest is planetary science, those planets out there, those kind of the bodies out there in the universe. And she is somewhat delighted that the shuttle program is coming to an end, so perhaps the focus can begin entering out even more adventuresome into the interplanetary world, getting into those planets. And as those planets are touched upon and things are brought back from those planets, her dream is to be a part of that in some way, shape, or form. She has that dream. My daughter Elizabeth, of course, she's graduated from UNCG School of Music with a bachelor's in music and music education, kind of lean more towards the arts. So our daughters have something, perhaps, there's something of each of Mary and I in both of them. I notice, though, when your children tend to lead you to things that perhaps you may have never had an interest in. Have you had that experience? If you have children, there's things that you would never really have gotten connected to, but their interest draws you into it. And so with my daughter, Rebecca, in the world of science, I tend to read more things that have to do with interplanetary science and the world beyond us. And this past week, I was reading the News and Observer, and there was an article in there that I perhaps would have skipped over, but my attention was drawn to it. The article was about planets. Now, in the world of science, particularly the world of planetary science, astronomy, there is a desire to understand the vastness of what is beyond us, to somehow understand it. It's a part of our humanity to want to understand, to find meaning, to find definition. There's something about us when we can define something, we feel we somewhat have some ownership of it in some way. But there's a goal out there to understand the wonder of what is beyond us. And one of my understandings of planets, I could stand corrected, this may be oversimplified, but a planet is something that is a body that revolves around a star, revolves around a sun, like our planets do, our nine planets or eight planets, depending upon where you stand on Pluto. The planets kind of revolve around the sun. That's our understanding of what a planet is. Well, this article this past week in the paper was saying that astronomers have discovered in the Milky Way galaxy planets that do not seem to be revolving around any star. And so they're puzzled by that. Does that mean that these planets once revolved around a star and they no longer do? Did something bump them off their course? Or did these planets perhaps they never revolved around a star? What does that mean? That understanding that we have of the universe these planets somehow don't fit the understanding. And so being drawn to try to venture into that, and astronomers are saying they're drawn to try to understand, what are these planets? What are these bodies that don't revolve around stars? That perfect understanding of the world beyond us, and seeing these planets in the Milky Way galaxy. You know, in many ways, I would also like to say that is a model for us of what religion can be. And we actually have that history of our religious tradition. I've shared some thoughts on this before, how both spirit and soul kind of complement each other. Spirit in us, in our religious tradition, it's the spirit in us that invites us to try to understand the wonder of what is beyond us. We strive to understand the Holy One, to understand God, to understand the wonder of this creation. And we begin to try to, through that, understand this kind of perfect world that God is a part of. But then we live our lives and we begin to engage in and encounter things that don't always seem to fit that understanding, that perfect understanding. You ever had that happen? I mean, I understand God in this way, but boy, this isn't sort of fitting in some way. It's like there's some planets over here that don't fit the definition of planet. Jesus was someone who many suggest, perhaps is one of the first in civilization, to be what is referred to as a non-dualistic thinker. Jesus was not somebody who saw the world in either or, but Jesus was somebody who was able to see the world in both this and that. And when you live in a this and that, when you live in this world of the spirit and you live in this world of the soul, there's tension, because one is challenging the other. One is inviting the other to new understandings. In many ways, the life of Jesus, we see in Jesus a ministry where he spent so much of his time with those who were sort of the outcasts of this perfect religious understanding of reality. Jesus ministered to the poor, to the oppressed, to the sick, to those who are considered not a part of this perfect system. Jesus engaged with those people. Jesus engaged his ministry in that way. In a sense, Jesus himself, and you could say that's what the incarnation is. Jesus coming from God in this our perfect understanding and comes into our world, comes into our lives, engages with our world and with us. It's hard to live in that kind of a tension at times, isn't it? Religion, at times, wants to hold on to just that perfect understanding. And when something doesn't fit into that perfect understanding, we may just push it away or push it out. Our first reading from the Acts of the Apostles we just heard read was the story of Stephen, the first martyr. You know, Stephen's life was one that perhaps must have done something to challenge some of the religious leaders of his time, because he didn't fit into that understanding. And so he get rid of him. It's the story of the stoning of Stephen, the first martyr of the church. In some ways, you may have read in the paper, encourage that we're all here. Yesterday was supposed to have been the end of the world. And those who are saved would be leaving us, and the rest would be left behind. It's a series of books called Those Left Behind. I'd be bold enough to say that the craziness of that understanding comes from this idea that somehow there's this perfect world, and there are those who, if you believe certain things, are part of that perfect world. And those who are not, well, you're not saved. You're not part of this. That's when religion loses that tension, when it loses that invitation to engage and to be soul-filled, to encounter the world, engage with the world. When that's cut out and we just see the world in this perfect way, we begin to cut people out. We can cut experiences out and perhaps miss the holy, not only in that world beyond that we strive for, but also to see the holy in our midst. To me, that's the message of Jesus. That's the message of the incarnation. Jesus comes among us and lives with us and in the midst of us and engages with us. And we find such holiness there as we strive to understand the wonder of the beyond and what is beyond. That, to me, is what Jesus is talking about when he talks about the way in the reading today. Unfortunately, this gospel reading, oftentimes, one of the verses in this gospel is oftentimes used to be one of the most exclusionary verses from Scripture. This idea that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. To use it in that way, to me, is to misunderstand the life of Jesus. Jesus was someone who engaged in our world, encountered our world, was never excluding, but trying to include and encounter and live in that tension. And that, to me, is the way. It's the way of the spiritual journey. It's the way of the religious tradition. Whatever religious tradition we walk in, it is that sense of living in our world and among our world, and yet striving for the wonder of what is beyond, and living in that tension. And Jesus is saying, that is the way. I am that way. And all who walk in that way will enter into the full understanding of the fullness of life. So as we walk through this season of Easter, as we walk as a people of faith, let us engage with what is around us and be challenged by what is around us to continue to be transformed and to understand. Let us encounter and engage with the planets that perhaps are not revolving around a sun. Let us engage with those in our sometimes religious world that are defined as not being a part of us, not fitting in, not believing for whatever reason, but to realize that we're called to reach out and to encounter and engage with people in our lives and the world around us. Let us walk in that tension. That, to me, is the message of Jesus today. To walk in that tension of the world we live in and the world beyond. And let us walk that way. Because that is the way. That is the way. And as the life of Jesus was transformed into new life, we're invited to walk into that life as well. And not only being transformed ourselves, but to be a transforming presence in our world. Let us go forth, bringing that life, not only to ourselves, but to the world around us.